Bible says, in fact, Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Is that really in the Bible? It is. Matthew, you go look at it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. That's tough stuff. Forgiveness is one of these pivotal points in our life. And by the way, we all have points where we're carrying on forgiveness. I mean, come on, we're human beings and God understands that. So I'm not trying to get us to obsess on something. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, God understands. But if we have this perpetual thing of just, we're just going to not forgive anybody, then we ask God to forgive us. Hey, listen, that doesn't even make sense, does it? And so our heart, our attitude really is what we're talking about. We should have an attitude that says, Lord, I need to maybe forgive something in my life that is holding me back from really experiencing all of your intentional love for me. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living, coming to you from our center in Tucson, Arizona, and having a great day today. Thank you for joining us, for being a part of the ministry. Got some great calls ready to go. If you want to comment on our storyline, give us a call at 888-888-1717. Love to hear from you. Talking about unforgiveness and forgiveness, Mark is going to join us in Michigan. Hi, Mark. Appreciate the call.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to the program on Wednesday, and I thought I would call in and share my story.
Tell us.
I'm 55 now, and when I was 19, I was not a believer at the time, and in all of my youthful lustfulness, I guess I'll phrase it that way, I had gotten a girl pregnant, and I strongly encouraged her at the time to get an abortion, and we ended up doing that. Fast forward about 10 years into the future, when I was 28 and I became a born-again believer, I had moved to a new city at that time and just got connected with a Bible-believing church, and they were having a special service, which they had coined a solemn assembly. I had never gone to such a thing before. It was on a Saturday evening. And I remember when the pastor was talking, and it was basically a service of seeking forgiveness and repentance. And a number of people had gone up to the microphones, which were at the front of the congregation and facing the altar and the cross, and they were confessing. I had never done this before, but I felt compelled to go up to the microphone, and I didn't even know what I was going to say. I was a new believer at that point, up to just about 4 weeks at the time. And when I got to the microphone, I actually, the first words that came out of my mouth were, Lord, please, please forgive me for the abortion that I had done when I, and that was 10 years previous. And as soon as I confessed that, it was like God opened up a massive wound in my heart that I didn't even know was there, and I just began weeping.
Mm. Changed your life? That moment?
Yeah, I mean, weeping uncontrollably, and I went back to my seat in the back of the church, and it was dim in the congregation. It was on a Saturday evening, and I just continued to weep for like 10, 15 minutes. I didn't even know what hit me. It was like a tsunami. And that began my my healing. And then fast forward another 2 years into the future after that, and I was listening to a Focus on the Family radio broadcast. It was about abortion. And I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit asking me to call my girlfriend at the time, which I hadn't talked to in over a decade. And I called her out of the blue and actually somehow tracked her down. I was in another state at this point, and I called her to ask for forgiveness for the abortion, and she quietly listened over the phone and was surprised to hear from me, but thanked me, and again, it was another major step of healing in my life.
Amen.
And now here I am, 55, and God has blessed me with a wonderful marriage of over 18 years and two beautiful daughters who are in high school. And anyways, I just wanted to share that, and hopefully that would encourage some of your listeners.
Well, it certainly encouraged me, and it's a reminder of the truth of Scripture. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, talking about God himself through his Son Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's freedom. Mark just said, hey, I got freedom. It sounded to me, Mark, like for those years, like you said, it opened up a wound. It just was a giant thing you were carrying around. Maybe it wasn't even aware of how powerful it was in your life. And it just kind of drained all of that infection as that process of saying, hey, I'm seeking forgiveness from God and from this woman. And my guess is you feel a lot of freedom today.
Absolutely. And it's amazing what God has done and continues to do. And I just pray that God would continue to give me a humble heart. And, even now in my marriage, it's so easy to get prideful and,
yes,
and to blame, play the blame game, and just have to be very intentional about seeking forgiveness for owning my part in things. So it's an ongoing process, but that was just a major turning point in my own life about some brokenness that I had. And God, I'm so thankful for what God has done.
Amen. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Mark. And for others who are listening today, your story may be different than Mark's, but not that different when it comes to carrying around that infection of unforgiveness, and you know it. And we're not talking about not having boundaries in place and all that. I get all that. But we're talking about what we do to ourselves when we allow ourselves to carry these things around, and we can only shove it down so far. And I used to tell people, even when I would, had opportunity in the years past when I would do some counseling with folks individually, I would tell them it's like a garbage can. You stuff it down, stuff it down, stuff it down, and pretty soon the garbage can is full and stinking. And you put the top on, but pretty soon it starts to ooze out, the smell and everything. That's sort of a graphic picture of what we do when we carry around the infection of unforgiveness. And what Mark said is, hey, it was an open wound and there it was gone. Freedom, there's freedom. The memory doesn't go away. Consequences may not go away. But the opportunity to experience forgiveness, isn't that ultimately what we have in our relationship with Christ? I mean, that's ultimately what we seek more than anything. To confess our sins. I mean, the Bible's very clear. We turn to the Lord by saying, God, I'm done doing this myself. And we seek his forgiveness. It's a powerful thing. You know, C.S. Lewis made this statement, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Very true. Hey, let's take a quick break, okay? And we'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
One thing done consistently each day will change your life. For example, saving consistently will result in financial freedom. Encouraging your spouse daily will result in a closer, more intimate marriage. I am Dr. Randy Carlson. The Apostle Paul is right on when he wrote encouraging believers. He said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Consistency is more important than strength or speed. Consistency will help you grow your faith, solve problems, get healthier, and experience more peace in your marriage, family, and personal life. I invite you to join me at the Night of Hope to discover how to make consistency a game changer for your life and your family. Night of Hope, coming to Glendale, Arizona on June the 6th. Join me and recording artist Jordan St. Cyr. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I hope you'll do that. We're just 2 weeks away now. The Night of Hope,
coming up in next week, a week from this Friday in Glendale, Arizona. Tickets available today when you go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right, back to the calls. Stacy, welcome to the show today. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Randy. I'm calling you because I'm having a really bad day today. My husband and I are fighting, and I typically will go in and forgive him and apologize for my behavior, as you guys were talking about. And I have to be honest, I kind of jump between your station and another station. And today I just needed to get away, and I got in the car to drive to a friend's house, and I turned on Family Life Radio, and you're talking about forgiveness.
Yeah.
So I am not in the car driving, just so you know that, but I am falling apart from all the previous callers and the impact that forgiveness has had in their life. And I feel like I must still carry something that is a godly thing, that I found your station and talking about forgiveness in a day when I should have forgiven my husband and apologized before I left, and I didn't.
Well, why?
I'm just asking for some help.
Okay, that's good. What is it that? What are you feeling? What was it that caused you to call? Do you think what's going on right now inside of you?
Right now, I'm just feeling I am kind of losing faith a bit in my marriage and in my husband, and so I'm always seeking the Lord and trying to be in His will. I know that it is His will that I be married with this man. We had a tied the 3-strand rope around our wrists when we got married and made a commitment recently to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
But we've just been through a series of attacks from the enemy, and just not recovering very well from all of our, it's about 18 months.
And you're both believers?
We are both believers. I was born again more than 10 years ago. He was as well. And we currently go to a Messianic church. And so I'm praying for, you know, something, a word from God, like just seeking His will and seeking joy and the forgiveness. The impact of the lives of the last two callers just really moved me, and I'm glad I got to my friend's house because I started to break down.
That's good. That's a good sign, really, because it shows you got a sensitivity and you really want to seek God. Let me ask, were you guys doing okay up until 18 months ago?
Yeah, we were not, you know, all marriages have their ups and downs. We have had up and downs, but we were doing pretty well. But we, you know, we started with a fire at the house, and things just kind of continued from that point. So,
all right, so you've had started.
Everybody was safe, and we
So 18 months ago, you had a fire, and this put stress on your marriage, and other things started to happen in your marriage. It just kind of went in a spiral downhill. Is that what you're saying?
It did. We separated for a short period of time and then got back together. But I think that working through that reconnection is much more difficult than either of us thought, especially when you're the enemy is just constantly attacking us.
All right. Was there one major crisis? I mean, the fire, obviously, but that shouldn't necessarily separate a family. I can see the stress, but is there one particular thing that just sort of is the elephant in the room between the two of you guys? I mean, you don't need to share it. That's fine. But that's really where
there is.
Okay. There's a pain point in your relationship.
There is.
Has that ever been dealt with?
My husband had multiple surgeries and is clinically addicted to pain medication.
All right. Does he recognize this?
He did about 2 weeks ago, but he's been more than 20 years on pain medication.
Yeah, and he's not alone. There's a lot of people listening.
We are going to counseling. Yeah.
That's good. Is this all been on the table? Is this this has all been out on the table and recognizing this is an issue?
Yes, that's where we're going. We've been in counseling for about a year, a little bit more than a year, shortly after the fire. And when we reconnected, we started with a Christian counselor in the Phoenix area. And it's been really, really helpful, and it's kept us together. But we just have days like this where we're not even speaking to each other.
What is it you feel like you need to ask for forgiveness for when you say you're going to ask for forgiveness? For what?
I ask for forgiveness because when he is having severe pain, usually is when we have these arguments. And God raised me to be a fighter. And now I'm learning I can't really fight every battle. And sometimes he gets my goat and I begin to fight. And that's what happens. So I'm just asking, I just need the forgiveness for myself. But I really need the forgiveness of, I'm not listening to his pain. I'm just jumping into the fight.
So it's easy to jump in and say, well, why don't you do this? Or why don't you, you know, in other words, to try to run the show, as it were.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, listen, you're not alone. I mean, welcome to the life that we all face many times. I did a lesson last week, Stacy, with my staff here at the ministry, and I called it the Circles of Control. And one of the things that we teach at Intentional Living, and by the way, you made a wise decision to listen to the radio station today. I hope you leave it on. That's sort of my perspective on all this. But anyway, I talk about the fact that we only have control of the 3 feet that we live in. It's kind of like getting a 3-foot circular rug, and you put a chair right in the middle of it, and you say, God, I have no more control than I can have on sitting in this chair and this rug. I have control of what I think. I have control of what I say. I have control of what I do. I have control of my attitude, but I do not have control of somebody else sitting over in their own three feet. You do not control your husband. You know that. The frustration you're feeling is something that's going on inside of yourself. And so we can try to influence someone else by praying for them or encouraging them. But like many of us, what we do, we try to control someone else. And when an expectation is not met, that always creates disappointment in a relationship. And whenever we experience that disappointment in a relationship, marriage, that can create disillusionment, disrespect, and all sorts of other things. So at the end of the day, Stacy, I think for you, by the way, I hope your husband really does get some help for himself, because there is freedom in this and he can deal with this, but you need to stay inside your own 3 feet. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense.
I know it's not easy.
I'm hearing you.
Not easy.
It's not.
Yep. And maybe the apology is, honey, I love you and I hope that you get healthy and I'm with you and I'll support you in the whole process, but I'm going to stay in my 3 feet and I'll pray for you. You tell me how I can help, but I'm staying in my 3 feet. And when we get into a disagreement or whatever, I pull back into my 3 feet. I don't be moody. I don't be critical, but I'm just, you know, I'll pray for you and I'm willing to help you, but you're not going to take the bait to get sucked into getting outside of your 3 feet.
Yes, that is usually when things start to get a higher level of yelling and just hurtful things are said. And
that's right.
So I'm trying not to take the bait.
Yeah, listen, here's what happens.
It gets harder with time.
Yeah, I understand, Stacey. People listening get it. They understand. But here's a truth, psychological truth, a biblical truth, and it's just a relational truth. Whenever we take a position, then we have to spend our lives protecting it and defending it. And I know so many people who will too early take a position on something. Somebody says something to them, boom, this is what they're doing. This is why I think they're doing it and whatever. And in the process, we have to defend ourselves. And maybe you need to change your way you look at your husband to say, listen, And not so much I'm going to feel sorry for him, because I don't want to depower him, but I want to just recognize some empathy. Hey, this man's addicted to this stuff and is creating problems in his life. I can't change him. I'm going to pray for him. In other words, we change our view from I have to control, I have to be powerful, I have to do something, to what I have to do is take care of myself, take care of my family, pray, do the next right one thing. And that's really what we have to focus on. Is that something you think you could work on?
I'm working on it every day, Dr. Randy. I work on it every day. We've been married for 20 years, and it has been a process. Hey. There's just, you know, this is a day that my armor must have had a chink in it, and things just escalated, and then I took a step back.
There you go.
And my step back was really to go see a friend, try to get some words of wisdom, and just spend the day away so that our emotions can have a chance to settle.
Well, then you have an opportunity to go home and say, honey, I'm sorry. I overreacted. And I'm just going to pray for you and support you as I can. But it's not healthy for me to get in the argument. It's not healthy for you either. I want to support you. And you might want to stop and buy a little 3-foot rug on the way home. Okay? We'll be praying for you.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our life, we're in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, you can join us at the Night of Hope coming your way just about 2 weeks from now at the Haven Church, Glendale, Arizona. Jordan St. Cyr will be there. He's going to be sharing his story. He's going to be singing. You hear him on the radio every day. I get a chance to talk about the power of intentional living for your marriage, your family, your relationships. It's going to be a fantastic evening, a life-changing evening. And if you don't have your tickets yet, get them today. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Secondly, I want to say a huge thank you to those of you who are praying for us, supporting the ministry, standing with us. We're listener-supported. We can only do this because of your support, and God bless you for doing that. You can join us by going to theintentionallife.com. All right, back to the calls. Forgiveness, sometimes, boy, it seems to show up in marriage a lot. Kim from Texas, go right ahead.
Well, I went through a terrible, rocky divorce. I was married 34 years, and it just fell apart, and I didn't do anything but make it worse, and I went about trying to fix it myself, and I didn't know how, instead of asking God for his help and for having patience, and I didn't really understand forgiveness or grace yet. And so I was learning, and in the midst of my learning, I just made horrible messes, and I spent the next year just in a shambles. And when God showed me grace, when I learned about his forgiveness, I found then that it was possible to forgive my husband. And actually, I wrote him a letter telling him I love him and I wish him nothing but the best. There's always hope for reconciliation, but what it did was it put all the trouble out of my hands, and left the outcome to God, which is where it should have been in the first place. God made every single person on this earth, he knit together in their mother's womb. And so if he, making every single person, loving every single person, then surely I can do just a little thing by forgiving somebody, because he forgave me every single thing I ever did wrong.
That's right.
That's a powerful message. Thank you, Kim, for leaving that on our storyline, talking about forgiveness today and the power of forgiveness. And I was thinking about Stacy, who was just so transparent, talking about having just an awful day, turning the, you know, getting in the car. I can picture it. You can picture it. You have those days you just want to get in the car and drive and get away from the tension and the problems and the fighting. And just happened to turn on our station, this station. And here's Intentional Living. And here's the stories. And if you're listening, Stacy, continuing to listen, let me just add, as you said, you had counseling and counselor working with you, that you would put on the table a discussion about how we can be more supportive of each other and how we can resolve, how we can handle conflicts. Because you guys have a lot of stuff going on. And what you need to do is get some of the stuff resolved. And boy, I understand, we got people listening who are saying, hey, I live with a person who's struggling with an addiction of some sort or a dependency in some sort. And it's frustrating. And as you know, you can't control it. And I think that's the message. The real loving message is, hey, I'm here to love you, but I can't change you. If you want to get better, you're going to have to work on it. And I'll support you. I love you, but I'm not going to enable you to do that or to continue to hurt your life. And therefore, I'm going to my 3-foot little spot in the planet, okay? Talking about unforgiveness today.
My name is Dana, and I have a question about being a single parent. I've been a single mom for about 7 years, and I don't struggle with the whole concept of forgiveness of what's happened in the past. But what I do struggle with is when my children's dad get them every other weekend or once a month or however he gets them, how do you not get angry and not have unforgiveness in your heart when it comes to the constant hurt that you see your children going through?
Hey, great. Thank you. You're welcome. And let me just say this quickly as this theme is taking us out. You know, instead of feeling hurt or feeling angry, which is sort of a, let's face it, sometimes we can use emotions to procrastinate from taking action. And the action might be, I'm going to be an intentional parent. I'm going to teach my kids the truth. I'm going to love my kids to the extent possible. I'm going to bend over backwards to have a good relationship with this ex-spouse to the extent that'll help me be a parent, these kids together. But to be proactive, to be intentional, and not allow emotions to drive your life, because they are a fuel in a negative way. I'm Dr. Randy. Thanks for joining us. Check out Night of Hope at theintentionallife.com. For our entire team here, have a great day. See you next time right here from our Intentional Living Center, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.